Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hi, and welcome to the Homeopathy Health Show. I'm Atik Amadbati, a fourth-generation homeopath with over 20 years of professional experience in this field of healing. In the Homeopathy Health Show, I'll be talking all things homeopathy and natural, with guest interviews, tips and advice, and answering some of your questions. Homeopathy is truly a unique, complementary system of healing suitable for all ages, young and old. I'd love to hear from you and welcome your questions on homeopathy and how it can or has helped you. Feel free to email me at health@liketreatslike.co.uk or visit www.liketreatslike.co.uk for more information. Whilst you're there, take a look at the Knowledge Academy and blog section where you will find interesting information. Both sections are growing day by day, so always check back. So let's begin today's show on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio, real feel-good radio. Hello and welcome to the Homeopathy Health Podcast. I do hope you're well and sincerely hope you've had a pleasant week. Now, in today's podcast, I'm delighted, and I really am truly delighted to be joined by Hilary Dorion. Hilary is an internationally acclaimed homeopath and has been in practice for over 30 years now, and is also a senior lecturer at the CHE, which is the Center for Homeopathic Education. Now, only a few weeks ago, Marcus Fernandez, who is the founder and principal of the CHE, was on the podcast talking all things homeopathy, and I must thank him for connecting Hilary and myself. Hilary was the co-founder of Barefoot Botanicals, and is the co-founder of Skin Genius, which we will talk about later on today. I'm very much looking forward to that, actually. Hilary, thank you for coming on today's Homeopathy Health Podcast. It's a real delight.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, firstly, congratulations on becoming a nan. How amazing. Congrats, you know.
Thank you. Yes, it's very delightful.
How does it feel?
It feels great, actually. You know, I knew I would love it, but you know, when you first see that little baby, your heart just melts. He's an absolute delight, and so far really enjoying it. Yes,
brilliant, and may that enjoyment continue for many, many, many years. Hilary, the first question that I always ask my guests coming on the podcast is really very much to do with the journey that they've had into homeopathy. And I do know that in the early 80s, you did actually qualify as an acupuncturist.
Right.
And then as history goes, you were, of course, led to homeopathy. So do tell this journey.
Okay, well, I actually was at university in Dundee studying something completely different, which was social sciences. And I attended a lecture It was about homeopathy, sorry, about acupuncture. And it was about acupuncture analgesia. And it just caught my imagination. I'd always been interested in nature, in healing. And I decided I would like to see if it was possible to study acupuncture anywhere. This was 1978, probably. It was the days before we had the internet, so you could easily find colleges. I did manage to find a place in Leamington Spa, and I wrote and I asked for a place, and they wrote back and said they could offer me a place for the following year. So I left university, I went traveling, I came back and I took my place at the college in Leamington Spa, and that would have been in early 1979. And I studied acupuncture there for 3 years, and I graduated as an acupuncturist in 82. And I started my practice up in Red Hill. And, you know, the Chinese medicine is wonderful, and the philosophy and the depth and the age of it is quite mind-boggling. But I realized as I was practicing that it was hard to treat children because the pressure doesn't really work as well, and usually they don't really like needles. You also can't really treat acute problems that easily. So I got into homeopathy just really initially as a sort of support for my work as an acupuncturist. And I went to college in London, but it wasn't long before I fell totally, totally in love with homeopathy. And really, after qualifying as a homeopath, that really has been my life's work. I continue to work doing some acupuncture for a little while, but gradually, homeopathy just took over. The only thing I do nowadays with relation to that is that I often lecture on the correspondences between TCM and homeopathy, because that's quite fascinating. There's a lot that we can learn about a question, for instance, that in TCM, they have it down to the minutiae, is where does our vital force come from? Where does that chi energy come from? Which any acupuncturist will be able to tell you. I sometimes enjoy lecturing on the correspondences, and that's always very popular. But nowadays, I am a homeopath, first and foremost.
You know, I'm going to have to ask you, of course, though, for everyone's benefit, that as far as TCM is concerned, what is the thinking as far as where does the vital force come from, or where does it reside, what it's about?
Okay, well, in TCM, the vital force or the chi energy comes essentially from two main sources. One is the food that you eat, that's called gu chi, and one is from the air that you breathe, and they combine together in the chest to form chi. There's one addition from the kidneys, where what you might call ancestral chi. In homeopathy, it's kind of probably a little bit more akin to the miasmatic influence. And so the ancestral chi or essence comes in and mingles, and then that forms true chi. And so in Oriental medicine, a lot more focus is put on the diet and on breathing, you know, whether it's Tai Chi, whether, you know, breathing exercises, those two things are seen as very important, because they are where we get our replenishable Chi from. And the non-replenishable Chi comes from our parents.
It's very similar, isn't it, of course, to homeopathy and possibly many other healing modalities out there, which is always nice, because it also shows you a journey. Medicine has been around, or healing, should I say, has been around centuries, you know, longer than it's been there right from the start. It has to be, because I was joking with Elaine Watson, who was on the podcast, and we were talking about this, and I said to her, I said, healing has been around, of course, right from the start. Otherwise, if it wasn't, then several people would have been alive,
yes,
wouldn't they?
Yes, you know, absolutely.
How does that work? They surely their immune systems could not have been stronger than ours, you know. Although that does actually raise another question. But anyway, we won't go into that.
Yes.
Maybe their system was actually, because it was much purer In those times, wasn't it, than it is today.
There's so many different factors, aren't there? But we have far more chronic disease in modern days. You know, but years ago, I guess, if your immune system was strong enough to bat off a terrible acute illness like scarlet fever, then usually you were probably going to make reasonably old bones. But nowadays, we have a lot of chronic ill health that maybe people hundreds of years ago didn't suffer from in the same way, autoimmune diseases. So I think that the picture of people's health has changed. And I think that alternative medicine has probably never been more popular, because modern medicine tends to just offer treatment rather than cure. You become a customer rather than somebody who comes and gets better. And I think with alternative medicine, we can offer a little bit more than that. And that's what I like about it in particular.
You know, what's really fascinated me always right from the start, as you know, homeopathy has been in the family for a while, in my family. And it's just amazing that in this present age where, and we all, including myself, we all have emotional ups and downs more than possibly we can remember, you know, coming up, growing up in the 70s, 80s, there were different types of pressure. But now the emotional and the mental health conditions are very much prevalent. And homeopathy is absolute gold, isn't it? The way that it works, the way that it truly, definitively provides healing and lasting healing is just amazing.
It is. It really is. And, you know, that's what's so special about homeopathy. You know, we see people who've had, whether it's migraine, whether it's arthritis, whether it's eczema, they've been seeing doctors for years and years, and the treatment is the same. It's medication to try and control the condition, and the medication itself might then have problems. You know, people who use steroids for years, their skin becomes very thin and brittle, and, you know, there's problems as well as help given in those situations, but they're never going to actually get rid of it. And, you know, it seems a little bit depressing to say to somebody, oh, you're landed with it, that's it now. You know, the best we can do is put you on steroids for the rest of your life, or put you on this medication or that medication from the rest of your life. And, you know, some people, I always think that people who come for alternative medicines and who come to me for homeopathy are more involved in their own health and their own journey, because if they're told you need to go on statins, there are people who will question that and say, is there another option? People who don't mind changing their lifestyle somewhat, whereas a lot of people are like, oh no, I don't really want, if I have to change my lifestyle, I'd rather just take a pill. If I have to eat healthier or do more exercise, I'd rather just take a pill. And so people who come for homeopathy are looking for more in their life than just having chronic ill health that they're taking pills for every day. They're looking for a deeper solution.
Well, fortunately, we have homeopathy, the second largest system in the world. Surely it has to be a positive for one's own vital force to know that for something acute, which is non-life-threatening or serious, you can just, you know, go to a homeopathic first aid remedy kit that you have at home, and you can pick out whatever it is, gelsemium, aconite, natmium, or whatever that you need at that time, and it's done. And
yes,
get on with your life, you know.
Yes, it's wonderful. I honestly don't know how people get through their lives without homeopathy. I've had brought up four children, and I don't know, you know, neither of my daughters have ever had antibiotics. And, you know, my daughter, the elder daughter, who's also a homeopath, she just having had a baby, you know, things like remedies for after the birth, remedies for the baby if it has colic, just knowing that you have a safe, effective system that you can nip infections in the bud, you can treat the colic, you can help to soothe them. It's wonderful. And I feel really sorry for people who don't know about homeopathy, don't know what they could have in their life, don't know what a safe and easy help they could have in a small first aid kit that they could learn to use effectively. Obviously, for more complicated things, they would need to see a professional, but it would be the equivalent of taking a Rennie's or an aspirin, instead of which they could go and take something homeopathic that does far, far more on a deeper level. And I just don't know how people get through their lives without homeopathy, because it has literally and figuratively saved my life so many times in so many situations that I'm really grateful for it. And sometimes I'll say to people, we might have a conversation and they might tell me they've got a problem, and I'll say, oh, I could give you a remedy for that. And they might go, oh, no, no, you're OK. You're fine. And I think, OK, I understand that. But I also think if you knew what that remedy was going to do for you, you would be biting my hand off. You would literally be biting my hand off. But you have to just say, OK, well, you're shout. I'm here if you want. If you change your mind, I'll give you that remedy. But you can't, you know, people have to come to it themselves. It's their process. It's their journey. And I love that it's grown so much and that it is the second biggest system of medicine in the world, because it totally deserves to be.
Absolutely. I echo your comments completely. Hilary, as far as homeopathy is concerned, I know that you've spent some time in India as well. So do share with us what you were involved with there as far as homeopathy is concerned.
I went to study homeopathy in India in 1986, I think 85 or 86. I went to do the first course, actually, that was run by Subrata Banerjee in Calcutta. And some of us went from the UK, and it was really fascinating. I learned ever such a lot. The treatment there, you know, so many people use homeopathy as a first line medication, and they actually were using it in hospitals. We could see really complicated things being treated with homeopathy. And yeah, it was a fascinating experience. I really, I learned a lot and I really enjoyed it. And I loved being in India. And I was there for 2 to 3 months and actually went back 2 years later with a friend who was doing the course. So I didn't do the course again, but I went and sat in on various clinics and did some other work out there. So I loved it. I had the best time, and I learned a lot from some fantastic homeopaths out there.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date, it notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It's it's really nice, isn't it, to go to a country, and there are many, of course, India being one of the first and foremost, alongside some others. But it's nice to be in an environment where you know that pretty much, you know, 80% of the population know what homeopathy is. So it's not something unusual for them. And it's just run of the mill normality, isn't it? And it's nice to be surrounded by that. That feeling is quite.
People who know it, who've tried it, who understand it, who respect it.
Yeah. And there's never raised eyebrows. It's like, oh, do you know that there's a shop that sells, I don't know, arnica or hepa sulf? And It's, oh yeah, there's this, this, and this, and yeah. And you go in, yeah. And there's various products. It's great, isn't it?
It's great. It is. It's great. And people are so open and so accepting, you know, whereas, you know, whilst there's a proportion of the population who are really into it, quite often you're looked upon as some mad hippie tree hugger if you say that you're a homeopath, and no respect is afforded to you at all. It's the same thing. You know, you get that from your patients, you get it from your students, you get it from the people that you help, but you never get it from society at large.
I think, Hilary, it's people like yourself and so many others, of course, that I've had the honor to invite on the show and to talk to, that are making the difference nowadays in promoting homeopathy and making it, very tangible and very real and very accommodating and very professional, more so than it's ever been. Of course, we know that up to the 1950s, you know, a large majority of MDs, and this is a fact, of course, isn't it, that had moved to homeopathy or were certainly using, you know, elements of homeopathy in their practice. And then, of course, things changed like everything in life. But it's nice to be able to have people who can give homeopathy that voice. And of course, with humility, I say that this podcast certainly is one of those objectives as well, to promote and give the real tangible voice, the professional voice of homeopathy and what it's about. And I think it's very easy sometimes to just Google something, and we've all done it, haven't we? The first page or hit that comes up, or description, and you think that's what it is. So with homeopathy, I think it's very different to just reading what homeopathy is. It's about experiencing it. And I think that's what changes, and that's what gives this lasting impression and changes people, because they say, yes. Oh, I read this. I read it was this and this. And now all of a sudden, hang on, my migraine's gone. I've had it for 20 years, yes. You know?
Exactly. And, you know, I mean, when people come, mostly they come, I don't advertise, I don't even have a website. My clients come to me from word of mouth. And so they come because somebody has given a good account of their experience. But sometimes they're still a little skeptical or slightly concerned by it all. So it's important to be professional, to have a professional setup, a professional clinic, to have a good working knowledge of healthcare generally, to be able to put people at ease, that they're in good hands, that you understand their condition, and that you're going to be able to help them. And so the whole process is part of what homeopathy is and can do, giving people the confidence that homeopathy is a successful system of medicine, and it is going to be able to help them, and they will start to see differences pretty quickly. You know, healing takes time. I often say to people when they say, oh, I've got eczema, can you get rid of it? I have a wedding to go to next month. And I'll say, you know, I'm a homeopath, I'm not Harry Potter. And that takes time to work. And this is a chronic illness, but we can definitely clear it and get rid of it. But it does take time. It's not going to be gone within a month. And I can't promise you that. You have to give people clear, you have to give them the right expectation, so they know what they're getting into, what the process is going to be, what they can expect. And people by and large are so delighted that they're the ones who spread the word, you know, and tell other people, you really should try it. You really should go and see somebody. And that's how it works. And I think that homeopathy in the UK has become more and more professional, more and more visible. And I think, you know, it's doing really well, and I'm delighted to see it.
Moving on. Now, I know that you have done a lot of work, and you continue to do so, of course, with the CHE, which is the Centre for Yes. Homeopathic Education. How did you actually get involved there?
Well, I knew Marcus and Gordon, who ran it with Marcus initially. We were at college together in the sort of early to mid 80s. I met Marcus when he went to another college in North London. We knew each other. Yes, it came out of there. It came out of knowing the two people who were principals, and I was asked to teach at CHE, and that must have been 25 years ago or something, a long time ago. And so I'm one of the regular teachers there at CHE. It's a great college, really professional, really good quality teaching, support, and a great introduction to the profession. So I teach at quite a few colleges in the UK, but I teach more regularly at CHE than I do anywhere else.
Now, alongside teaching, though, you also, am I right in saying that you do practice in New York?
I did do. I don't anymore. I haven't since COVID, really. But right. I taught in New York for many, many years. And as a result of my having a practice, going over to New York to teach maybe four times a year, I took on a number of patients from New York. And I taught from the college. I practiced from the college for a number of years. But with COVID and travel becoming impossible, all my clients went online. And so I haven't actually been back to New York since. And I think probably now I will just continue to. I mean, I have clients from all over the world online, but I used to very much enjoy going to New York and teaching and seeing clients. But it was of its time. And now I see the people, but I see them online.
It's a big benefit, actually, with being online, because like you said, it just makes it so much easier, not only time-wise, but also there's a cost saving for the patient and the practitioner.
Yes.
And also, it's just so much more convenient as well. But I was going to actually ask you, what was it like in New York and homeopathy? And is it well known? Is it what are the students like? And you know, what's their backgrounds?
Well, you know, I loved New York, and I found all the people that I met in New York really nice people. I find American people generally are very open. You know, they are very straightforward, very open, so they're very easy to treat. I think Americans generally have looked at their own process. They're used to kind of counselling or talking therapies, and homeopathy, for part of it at least, is a talking therapy. We need to fully understand somebody. So I found American patients very easy to get on with. They're very open, very self-aware. So I really enjoyed it. Lovely people. I think homeopathy is becoming more and more well known in America. For most states, there is a fairly thriving homeopathic community. And again, I think that it's going to grow because it's safe, because it's effective, and because people are sometimes tired of not getting to the bottom of what's going on for them and just skimming the surface. But ultimately, I think the reason homeopathy is growing is because people are looking for a little bit more and seeing that it perhaps is achievable and coming to see homeopaths. And I think that's happening all over the world, including the States.
I find personally now that it's very much, you know, the complementary, which, you know, an integrative route. People, you know, like the best of both, and they feel comfortable with that. And that's also a very, very positive, because you're working, you could technically say synergistically. You know, sometimes if someone, God forbid, has got something that requires, let's say, eczema, and they've had a flare-up skin condition, and sometimes you need steroids to keep it under control to prevent an infection. It's not sensible to say, you know, absolutely, any other system will be fine and stop what you're using. It's like another example, it's asthma. If you have asthma and you have an asthma inhaler, that's life-saving, you know.
It would be dangerous for any homeopath to stop a patient's medication in that way without clear support. You know, with somebody with asthma, we get them to go back to their GP with peak flow charts to show whether their peak flows are how they're doing, whether their peak flow is improving enormously, so that the GP can say, we'll take two puffs in the morning, just one puff in the evening, as you're not so bad then, and see, let's have a look at it again in another 4 months. And, you know, it has to be overseen. But mostly GPs are quite happy to do that, by and large. And with people with steroids, it isn't good for them to just suddenly stop their steroids, because they will get a rebound, which will be so unpleasant and so uncomfortable for them, that they're going to just completely stop having homeopathy, and that's it, we'll have lost them. So absolutely, we have to just very slowly withdraw as is appropriate. So no, I mean, I think that's sometimes a misunderstanding, that if you go to see a homeopath, you can't take any other medications. Simply not true. Our remedies work on a completely different non-chemical level. And so there's no contraindication with homeopathy and orthodox medication. And so they can be run together for a good length of time before the GP might say, look, let's start cutting that medication down, because you're doing really well.
That's brilliant, isn't it, though? It's very reassuring for the patient as well. And reassuring for the practitioner as well. You know, it's a journey, isn't it? Like you said, homeopathy's a journey, and it's very much it's also a mental and emotional journey as well, because healing involves peace of mind, doesn't it, at the end, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel. You quite rightly said, of course, a lot is to do with therapy, to talk. I've found that just by having a happy conversation with the patient, laughing, joking, you know, and also not taking things too seriously for the sake of the patient, it helps 50% of the condition itself, you know, and the patient feels comfortable and relaxed, and that's just nice, isn't it?
It's enjoyable as well as nice. And I think that is important, because people feel heard. And in a busy world like we have today, when people have problems, people don't always have time to listen to them. And, you know, there's a lot of people talk about, you know, it's placebo effect. I said, well, what is placebo effect? One, I know it's not placebo effect, because homeopathy works on babies, it works on animals. So I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it isn't a placebo effect. But it would be disingenuous to think that there is never any placebo effect, or that placebo effect doesn't actually add a little bit to what we do, because we listen, because we understand, because we lighten the load for people. You know, as well as giving them the similimum in the form of a homeopathic remedy. But it definitely is not all placebo. You know, I think placebo is a bit of, you know, it sounds a bit, being given us a bit of a dirty word, but actually placebo just is something that encourages a little bit of self-healing in a way. So I'm all for it. If a placebo works as well as a drug in a trial, you've got to say, well, that's pretty powerful medicine in itself. But homeopathy works way beyond placebo effect, reproducible. Sometimes people say there's no science behind homeopathy, and there is. There are hundreds and hundreds of peer-reviewed scientific studies that show that homeopathy works way beyond placebo. But certainly the conversation is definitely part of the process.
The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook, you know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Jokingly, I was on a radio interview last week and they asked me to come on to talk about homeopathy. And they asked me this question about placebo. And this is jokingly I answered. I said, look, if it is placebo and it's the second largest system in the world and hundreds of millions of people are being cured because of a placebo effect and by spending a nominal amount of money, then what's wrong with that?
Yes, yes. You know? Actually, I mean, there is
something. I say that jokingly, of course, but what's wrong with that?
Yes, I know, but it's a question to be had. It's a question to be had about the essential nature of what triggers healing, you know. It's interesting, isn't it?
It is. It's always the same questions as well. I've noticed it's always the same questions. How does it work? You know, are there any side effects? It's always the same four or five questions actually remain. Why isn't there enough research, you know? But hey, here we go. We live and learn. Now, moving on, I was going to ask you, because you've got over 30 years of experience now, and again, like we mentioned, you did practice in New York, and now it's very much online, but you practice here in the UK as well. What conditions do you encounter more frequently? If you could sort of, you know, give an idea of that.
Yeah, I mean, I have a mixed practice, so there's very few things that I don't or haven't seen over the years. But I would say that I see a lot of skin problems. I treat a lot of eczema, a lot of psoriasis. I treat a lot of arthritis too, and I treat quite a lot of endocrine dysfunction. Those are probably the things that I see most of. Mm. But I see a good wide selection, as your average GP would see, from people who have migraines, people who have hormonal disruptions, a pretty good selection of things. But I do see a lot of skin complaints. That's something that has always been quite dear to my heart. And increasingly now I see a lot of patients with mental emotional problems, from depression, anxiety, OCD. It's what keeps it interesting. You never know what's going to come through the door. And what's nice is that whatever comes through the door, you know you're going to be able to help.
Well, what's your insight into the why eczema has, or any skin condition, eczema, psoriasis and others, has, and also mental health conditions, have become so prominent nowadays? Is it only because people are able to talk about it more and feel more comfortable with that subject matter, like, for example, mental health? Or is it to do with excess toxicity when it comes to skin conditions or the environment we live with? The environment we live in?
I think not enough research is done into why people's health generally in terms of chronic diseases is declining. And so it's a very hard question to answer. My own belief is that it is down to modern living, and modern living means excess toxicity, you know, pesticides, fertilizers, petrochemicals, electromagnetic frequencies, poor diet. There are so many possible factors that it's very hard to point the finger at just one of them. Mm. You know, there are many, but I think it's part of modern life. And definitely I think that toxicity must play a part in it. But I think that's an area that more research really needs to be looked at, as to what things are actively involved in increasing the number of children. It's something like one in four children now has eczema. Mm. When I was young, a long time ago now, but I remember we had a girl in my class with asthma. My sister was 2 years above me. My friend was 1 year below me. They didn't have a girl in their class with asthma. I had one girl in my class. In fact, I think she was likely the only girl back then in the school. Now, when my children went to school, and it's probably much worse since then, if they had an inhaler, which they didn't, but friends whose kids had inhalers, they were labelled and put in the drawer with the other inhalers. You know, there were so many children who needed inhalers. So something from my childhood to my children's childhood, and from my children's childhood to my grandson's, it's not going the right way. You know, people may be arguably living slightly longer, but they're sicker. You know, longevity isn't the only benchmark. Enjoyment of life, you know, the Alzheimer's has gone through the roof, diabetes has gone through the roof, eczema, all manner of autoimmune diseases, Parkinson's disease. These are things that have been on the increase way beyond what could be explained by an older population. And it needs to be looked at as a matter of urgency, in my opinion. And we do our best with homeopathy to help people who are suffering from the ill effects of modern life and toxicity and chronic disease. And we do a pretty marvelous job in a pretty unequal arena out there at the moment.
I do agree with you. It's definitely the toxicity, because of just because it is what it is, isn't it? You know, chemicals, pesticides, insecticides, airborne pollutants, and modern living, side effect of modern times and modern living, isn't it? I mean, just having this podcast, like I've said to other guests as well, how much electronics are we surrounded by? How many frequencies? The screen, the mic, the webcam, the mobile phone on my left, and same for yourself, of course. And of course, it doesn't help, because from a cellular point of view, the cells are bombarded with different frequencies, and they can't remain stable, can they? This all is going to be some sort of offshoot, isn't it, of symptoms?
Yes, absolutely. But, you know, we can't turn the clock back. We have to live in the modern world. But I always say to patients that, you know, there are some of the landmines that you can avoid stepping on, you know, eating more healthy foods, trying to use more natural products, turning off your technology when you can and going for a walk in nature. There are things that we can and should do to try and offset, you know, the need to live in the modern world, the need to use technology, the need to have fun. I do think that we need to offset the effects of modern life as much as we can with diet, with exercise, with enjoyment of nature, with natural therapies, and just try and avoid treading on some of the landmines, just to do what we can do.
Which aptly takes me to something, of course, that you're very passionate about, which is natural products. And of course, you've spoken about your or should I say, from myself, you are an expert in skincare, having helped so many people with skin ailments and conditions. But it leads me on to your skincare products, and specifically you founding something called Skin Genius. Yeah. So do share about Skin Genius, how that came about, and what's involved, and perhaps give us an idea of the products and what they do.
Well, I started years ago treating eczema and psoriasis and saying it would be helpful if you could find a natural cream that doesn't have petrochemicals in and doesn't have artificial preservatives in, because these things are not good for you and they're not good for your skin. And if you can find something natural, and people would come back and they'd say they couldn't, what could they use? This was years ago when we started Barefoot Botanicals, maybe nearly 30 years ago now. And so we decided to plug that hole in the market and make a natural skincare cream. And so we did. We sold the Barefoot Botanicals company many years ago. And then one of my friends asked me, would you like to have a... She said, I would really, really like, because I know so many friends whose kids are struggling with acne. I would like to make some acne products. Would you help me? Would you like to be involved? And out of that grew Skin Genius. So Skin Genius is the company that I... I'm involved with now. We have products for acne and products for eczema and psoriasis. We have products for acne that are moisturizers, facial wash and treatment gel. And we have eczema cream and oil for helping to moisturize the skin, which are full of natural, nourishing ingredients, no nasty toxins. I watched a program years ago by Sarah Beeny, who was looking at some young women who used products that weren't natural on their skin. And in particular, they were looking at one preservative and looking at the blood levels of them. They're only allowed in small amounts in products, but this particular young lady was having a shower in the morning, as you do, washing her hair, conditioning her hair, putting a treatment in her hair, putting on a moisturizer, using a deodorant. I think she'd used 15 products by the time she left, each one of them full of toxic ingredients. So we just wanted to try and make products that people could be confident in using, that weren't going to build up in their bloodstream, that weren't going to cause them problems, and that were actually going to benefit their skin and would complement any treatment that they had homeopathically. And that's really what it came out of.
Yes, there must be a lot of research involved in putting the products together as such.
Yeah, I've always been interested in plants. You know, I'm also a herbalist, and I really like, you know, finding out what plants are synergistic, what are going to help, what's not going to interfere with other medications, what's going to be safe, natural, effective, and then combining them in interesting ways. You know, that love of nature's healing abilities, I guess, is what drives it.
And how is Skin Genius getting along?
It's how many years has it been? Actually. Oh, about 7 years now, I'd say we've been going. It's always a slow process bringing products to market, but we have some really good traction now. We had a really nice article in one of the national newspapers just last week, and yes, it's doing nicely.
That's really rewarding to know, and I'm quite sure with your background, with your passion and compassion, I think it's going to be hugely successful going forward. It's going to continue accelerate as far as growth, and ultimately, more important than all of that, to help, you know, yes, to help those who are suffering and who have such conditions. It's just nice to know. And this actually takes me back to the start of the conversation and the objective of this podcast, that anyone interested in natural products, now they've heard you, Hilary. They've heard you talk about Skin Genius, for example. They've heard you talk about your helping patients with skin conditions. So it gives that real tangible feel, and then it creates a trust, because then you actually know directly, oh, I heard Hilary on the podcast, or I heard such and such on the podcast, and oh, they were talking about these products, and you know, let me try and find out a bit more, because my son or my daughter or, you know, whoever is suffering from this condition or that condition. And that's a plus point, isn't it? It's nice.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Certainly.
Now, time for a bit of fun. It may be fun, it may not be. Let's see. But I have some questions for you. Now, I've already asked you how it is to be a nan, so thank you very much for answering that. But do you have, Hilary, any favorite book or books? And if it's several, then you're allowed three.
Okay. I would say I do have some favorite books. My day-to-day workbooks are the late departed and very much missed Robin Murphy's Materia Medica and Repertory. They're the basic tools of my trade. Books that I enjoy outside of the daily books of my trade. I love Lou Klein's books. Lou Klein is a great American homeopath, and he has a great book called Clinical Focus. And another Australian author that I really like is Philip Bailey. He has a wonderful book on the psychological profiles of homeopathic remedies. So those are probably two of my favorites.
Right. I know that Louis Klein has a new book, which you'll probably see over here.
Yes, the one for neurodegenerative Alzheimer's. And
That's a very nice and emerging book, isn't it?
He's great. The first book of his that I read, the Clinical Focus, taught me a lot about a couple of remedies that I hadn't ever used before. And I found that everything he says about them, I see in practice. They are, you can depend on the information. And that's what's really important when you're reading books, that they come from somebody's experience, like Philip Bailey. They come from his busy practice, and they're information that you can hang your hat on. You can rely on it. You can use it for your patients. And I think that, for myself as a teacher, it's something that's really important, that the information is authentic and usable and clear. And those books certainly fit all of that.
And the next question, favorite remedy or remedies? I know this is a really tough one because, it doesn't actually work that way, does it? But surely you must have.
It doesn't really, but yeah, I guess there's always remedies that you think if I could only ever have one remedy. If I could only ever have one remedy, for acutes, I'd probably choose Rust Tox, because it's great for injuries, sprains and strains, but it's also good for viruses. So it's good for herpes and shingles. It's also good for bacteria, streptococcal bacteria. It's good for cholera. It's got so many facets. It's good for sore throats. There's so many things that you can press service from Rust Tox. I'd have to say that Rust Tox is one of my favorite remedies. And just on a day-to-day remedy for helping so many people, women in particular, I would probably have to choose sepia. The remedy for women who are depressed, overextended, a lot of joy has gone out of life. They're torn in different directions from work, from children, from family, and just feel worn down. And it's such a fantastic remedy to bring back a little bit of joie de vivre, clear some depression, bring up the energy, and balance the hormones. So I would probably say that, as a kind of constitutional or deep remedy, I would choose sepia. And as an acute remedy, I'd probably choose Rust Tox. But it's a hard call because there are so many remedies out there that...
They're both wonderful choices, and I agree with you as far as sepia is concerned. It's so timely, isn't it? I always refer a lot to sepia and Ignatia as well.
I was going to say if I could have two deeper remedies, Ignatia would be another one, because it is such a support for people who are going through loss or bereavement or loss. It doesn't have to be bereavement. They could have lost a job in a traumatic fashion. They could have had an argument with a friend and be very upset about it. It can be bereavement. It can be shock. And it's such a wonderful supporting remedy for people emotionally that it would definitely be up there. Remedies that I prescribe really frequently, those two are going to be frequently out of the drawer here. Yeah.
Brilliant. Hilary, what's next on the horizon? Anything that you're working on that you'd like to share?
Next on the horizon is actually retirement, believe it or not.
No, you can't do that yet.
I'm going to continue with my teaching. I love teaching. I love passing on the knowledge that I have built up over nearly 40 years of practice now, and passing that on to new homeopaths. My daughter, as I mentioned, the one who's just had a baby, she qualified as a homeopath 3 years ago, and she's going to be brilliant. So I would like to be inspiring and educating and helping and mentoring the next generation of homeopaths. That's what I would like my next years to be full of. I haven't taken on any new clients for a couple of years now, because I'm trying to slowly work my way into retirement. But I don't see myself ever completely retiring, and certainly mentoring and educating, I think, will be a big part of where I go over the next decade.
Well, that's reassuring that you're still going to be involved. Are you going to leave us with a book, though?
I might do. Yes, I might do. Good. I mean, a lot of my teaching is done on webinars and lectures online. But yes, I think there's a book in there. So that's, yeah, especially once I've got a bit more time and I'm doing less clinical work, I'll have a bit of time to focus on that.
Hilary Dorian, it's really honestly been a huge pleasure. Thank you so much for taking time out and coming on to the Homeopathy Health podcast, sharing your journey to homeopathy, your insights. Of course, I certainly have picked up, you know, your passion, your expertise, your skill, and your pure love and devotion to homeopathy. And that's very, very admirable. And it's insightful. It's delightful. It's motivating. So thank you so much.
I would love to. All right. Take care. Thank you.
I do hope you've enjoyed the Homeopathy Health Show here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. Tune in next time for more things homeopathy, interviews, and segments on the healing possibilities that homeopathy can bring you. And don't forget to visit UK Health Radio online at www.ukhealthradio.com to see the many other amazing shows available to listen live and on demand. Or why not download the app from the iOS and Android stores? Until next time, stay safe and take care.